Hello, this is Dee with the Vermilion County News for June 22nd. We'll begin today's recording with the front page article entitled DATS Group OKs Updated Plan by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. According to Streetlight Data, the Danville Area Transportation Study planning area saw nearly a 41% reduction in vehicle miles traveled from March 2nd to April 2nd. From 2.89 million miles traveled to a reported 1.72 miles traveled due to the coronavirus pandemic. Fewer people are also migrating at this time, but once travel bans are lifted, it's possible that people from larger cities will seek to relocate to areas with smaller populations and more open space to lower the likelihood of infection. DATS Long Range Transportation Plan 2045 update reads, the DATS Policy Committee, made up of city, county, and other local transportation officials, recently approved the Long Range Plan update. The 74-page document reviews existing conditions and includes transportation visions for moving forward, 2045 needs, and recommendations. Vermilion County's population is projected to decrease by 3% during the next 30 years. By about 2040, the county's 81,588 population from 2010 is forecast at 78,835, with 47,029 living in the DATS Metropolitan Planning Area. With this number below 50,000, Danville will lose its metropolitan status and the direct Metropolitan Planning Organization funding from the Federal Highway Administration, and that will dissolve. Danville's population has been projected to continue to decrease from the 2010 census number of 33,027 to around 30,000 by 2040. The plan also talks about vehicle ownership statistics. From 2014, which showed Vermilion County had more than 81,000 state-registered vehicles, but almost 31% of Danville households reported no vehicle ownership. Danville Mass Transit provides up to about 650,000 rides annually. The total employment in the region in 2045 is projected to be approximately 33,132, which would be an increase of about 4% from 2010. The update has several roadway and pedestrian system recommendations, but also lists some capacity concerns. Past responses from the Employer Input Survey indicate a critical need to improve our roadway system, with special consideration given to addressing roadway railroad at-grade crossings, improving overcapacity corridors, and improving regional transportation connections. Responses to our employee input survey of about a dozen companies indicated that most companies rely heaviest on our roadway system, although they also indicated that our roadways need the most improvement of all transportation systems in our regional network. Nationally, the freight ton miles of all modes increases at a constant rate of approximately 1.2% per year. The study reports the majority of freight tonnage moved by truck passes through Vermilion County, around 85% of truck freight, as opposed to the much smaller percentage having an origin or destination in Vermilion County. Issues that may impede the growth of freight movement by trucks in the area is roadway congestion and price increases, such as insurance rates and fuel prices, the report states. Rail and truck freight recommendations include support railway projects that reduce or eliminate interactions between rail, vehicle, bicycle, and pedestrian travel. Priorities include Bowman Avenue at Griggs and Maple Streets, Main at Washington, South at Jackson and Voorhees, east of Griffin and west of Bowman. For aviation, identify potential economic development opportunities near the airport and future industrial business park. and discourage residential development in the immediate area of the airport to allow sufficient room for airport expansion and operations. Various Metropolitan Planning Organization projects still in the plan include Bowman Avenue grade separation, Beltline phases, and East 14th Street in Tilton. Public transportation strives to provide shorter waiting times in corridors with higher ridership. Longer service hours could be part of future service. Ongoing transit priorities include employment, transportation. The plan also discusses PASS programs, where cities, colleges, school districts, and employers help with lump sum transit payments for their employees and students to get a pass and not have to pay to use buses. The transportation plan update also talks about technology upgrades for real-time bus schedules and an additional mass transit transfer facility south of Interstate 74 could be considered in future updates of the LRTP. Bicycling recommendations include connections to destinations such as Kickapoo Rail Trail, filling in gaps in Danville, acquire and develop right-of-way from the Norfolk Southern Rail Line, extending from Jackson Street in Danville north beyond the DATS metropolitan area boundary, and acquire and develop the abandoned Milwaukee Rail Line to provide a connection to the southern planning areas. Pedestrian recommendations include close gaps to promote greater use of the existing network, enhance pedestrian access to activity centers from residential or other activity centers, and identify potential improvements and provide access to enhance bicycle and pedestrian travel across Lake Vermilion and the Vermilion River. The interest in creating complete streets continues to grow in the Danville area. The National Complete Street Coalition defines a complete street as a street that enables all users, pedestrians, bicyclists, motorists, and transit riders of all ages and abilities to safely move along and across a street. Denmark Road and Old Ottawa Road is one upcoming project. Other bridge replacement projects are also identified in the county. Transportation system management strategies should be considered at spot locations, intersections operating over capacity, and along corridors with high average daily traffic. Locations to evaluate include Winter Avenue and North Vermilion Street intersection, US 136 and US 150 intersection, and interchange of Interstate 74 and Lynch Road. Access management should be considered as a solution to improve traffic flow along corridors operating over capacity. Specific locations to evaluate include Illinois State Route 1, extending north and south of Interstate 74 interchange, Vermilion Street, Voorhees Street to Liberty Lane, Illinois State Route 1, between Georgetown and Interstate 74, access needs to be controlled to preserve a high level of mobility and improve safety, and Winter Avenue and Vermilion Street intersection, Illinois Route 1. Access management techniques can include closing or consolidating existing access points, implementing right-in and right-out access points in conjunction with barrier medians and roundabout intersections. A significant change in the 2045 plan, and therefore a potential long-term impact on transportation demands, is the shift toward increased density within the existing urbanized area, the plan reads. It is anticipated that as the population ages and as the children of the baby boomers move into adulthood, there will be demand for a wider variety of housing types than what is currently offered in the planning area. Smaller homes, accessory dwelling units, downtown condominiums, and mixed-use residential neighborhoods are all expected to see an increase in demand. National trends indicate an increased desire to live closer to services and goods needed on a daily basis, and for housing that requires less time spent on maintenance. Danville City Engineer Sam Cole told the DATS Policy Committee earlier this month that the city continues to move forward with the development of a long-term capital plan and strategy for projects. Danville City staff are in the early stages of transitioning to a new long-term strategy, Cole said. Projects that have come to fruition from DATS 2015 long-range transportation plan to 2040 have included wayfinding and signage study, greenways and trails plan, re-envisioning Danville downtown riverfront conceptual plan, Bowman Avenue and Vermilion Street study to reduce traffic on Vermilion Street, and a freight study. Our next front page article is entitled Carl Project to Resume, IDOT Not Worried About Traffic by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. The existing average daily traffic on Gilbert Street south of Madison Street in Danville is 17,000 vehicles per day. The estimated Gilbert Street traffic is expected to be 21,400 vehicles per day with the addition of Logan Avenue traffic when Logan Avenue partially closes for the Carl at the Riverfront development, according to Illinois Department of Transportation officials. The increase in traffic on Gilbert Street was considered as the District Signal Committee reviewed the traffic signal warrants, current traffic control, speed limits, and pedestrian accommodations, as well as the safety for both vehicular and pedestrian traffic. The proposed changes result in an acceptable and safe level of service for the 20-year design period, according to IDOT Geometrics engineer Jeff Allen. Demolition work will resume next month, and plans to change traffic signals and patterns will continue to move forward this summer and fall for the Carl at the Riverfront project. Danville Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said Carl intends to resume work after July 4th. Logan Appliance has moved and the final demolition work will occur, he said. Williams and Carl officials are in the final design for the streets and traffic signal changes. City officials are working with Carl's consultant on finalizing the Gilbert-Madison intersection improvements. Illinois Department of Transportation officials have continued to work with Carl and Danville officials to review the roadway and traffic signal changes, including at Main and Logan and Gilbert and Madison streets. According to Allen, all facets of the project were subject to review by the appropriate IDOT district staff as part of the permit. IDOT's Scott Niehart reported that the final documents for the permit were received, revised, and approved by the district. The permit was recently sent to the city of Danville for its signature. After it's signed and returned, the district will issue the permit. The work included in the permit generally consists of traffic signal removal at US 150 and Logan Avenue, with there no longer being a stop condition for Main Street traffic at the intersection, traffic signal removal at US 136 Illinois Route 1, Gilbert Street and Harrison Street, and traffic installation at US 136 Illinois Route 1, Gilbert Street and Madison Street. Other items included in the permit are pavement markings, minor pavement widening, combination concrete curb and gutter replacement, and some storm sewer work. The medical campus project also includes realignment of the Gilbert and Madison Streets intersection to straighten out the jog as much as possible. Also, the odd intersection at Logan, Chandler, Madison, and Sherman will be realigned and become a four-way stop. The Danville City Council approved a semi-final subdivision plat for the $70 million Carl at the Riverfront project in April. The recommended plat approval by the Danville Area Planning and Zoning Commission had the condition that an agreement be included with the final plat for the Vermilion County Museum to have access to the west side of its building for maintenance purposes. Construction is expected to start this year. Carl hopes to open the medical campus in 2021. City officials have said Logan Avenue won't be closed for the few blocks north of the North Street to just south of Leon's Diner until Carl completed certain conditions, including traffic counts and traffic impact analyses for the roadway changes, and intersections, traffic signals, and remaining business accesses are addressed. Carl plans to consolidate its North Vermilion and Fairchild Street facilities and ambulance service on Franklin Street for the medical campus. The campus will be between Logan Avenue and Gilbert Street and from Madison Street on the north to North Street on the south. The development will better accommodate patients in Danville, Vermilion County, and surrounding communities, Carl officials said. The city also is working on land acquisition for the William Street realignment between Robinson and Chandler Street. That's in conjunction with this project. Danville Assistant City Engineer Eric Childers said construction is anticipated to occur next year on that realignment. Our next front page story is entitled Organizers Cancel Tree Festival by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. An annual holiday event that many in the community look forward to has been canceled due to COVID-19. Organizers have made the difficult decision to cancel this year's OSF Festival of Trees. The theme this year was to be Vision of Hope. OSF officials instead are planning a one-day event later this year, with details still being finalized, to raise money for local individuals and families who are battling cancer. OSF Healthcare Sacred Heart Medical Center President Dr. Jared Rogers said the new event will be short and sweet and bring people together celebrating life. Rogers said they were sad making the decision to cancel the Festival of Trees. It wasn't a foundation or hospital administration decision. It was collaborative, he said about canceling this year's Festival of Trees. In talking to the co-chairs of the committees and other organizers, they reluctantly agreed on the cancellation. Rogers said there were a lot of things that resulted in us seeing the need to cancel it. He said those reasons included all the planning involved, which starts after the last one ends, and behind-the-scenes happenings many people might not realize. He said all the planning hasn't taken place as it should have this year, with a kickoff meeting taking place, but then the pandemic hit and everything went quiet. There were about 4 months behind schedule, he said. Another issue is the festival being a fundraiser and asking people and businesses adversely affected by the pandemic for money. We didn't feel right going and asking individuals and businesses for solicitations, Rogers said about everyone trying to get by. Finally, as OSF is a healthcare organization, he said they couldn't in good conscience say that even in November, with health officials nationally talking about another COVID surge possible later in the year, it will be safe for people to come to the festival. The gala and other events at the festival attract large crowds. It's very close contact, he added about the congregations of attendees. Since 1997, the festival has raised more than $4.2 million for community outreach programs and special health care initiatives. Last year's event proceeds were used to purchase a Medivan. At OSF Healthcare Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville, the tent outside the emergency department has been removed, which was erected due to COVID-19, and the main hospital entrance is open again. OSF Healthcare has restarted non-emergent procedures and surgical services, which had been paused in response to COVID-19. We've opened back up for most elective surgeries, Rogers said. We're definitely open for business. People don't need to be afraid to come to the hospital. Mission partners have been following strict guidelines for cleaning and disinfecting. Rogers said the community has been fortunate to not have a lot of COVID cases. He said the hospital is a safe place to go, with hospital staff keeping some patients separated as needed. He added that OSF appreciates Vermilion County and the surrounding community supporting OSF and the hospital. It is something that is reflective of the community spirit and love and compassion in the community, he said. Roger said it's much different than in other similar communities. It's unique, he said. And now we'll turn to reading the obituaries. The first is Linda L. Baker, 68, of Westville, Illinois, passed away at 5:55 a.m. on Wednesday, June 17th, at the Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Private funeral services will be held at Robinson Chapel in Catlin, with Pastor Rod Godley officiating. Public visitation is from 5 to 7 p.m. Monday, June 22nd, at Robinson Chapel. Face masks are required for entry, and only 10 people will be admitted at a time. Burial will be in Atherton Cemetery in Danville. Memorials to the American Cancer Society. Molly Karen Gailey became an angel on the evening of June 15th at the age of 70. Kruger Cone Pape Funeral Home is assisting the family with arrangements. Janet Elaine Walsh, 68, of Indianola, passed away at 11:07 p.m. June 15th in the comfort of her home. A memorial will be held at 11 a.m. on Saturday, June 27th, at Trinity Lutheran Church, with Pastor Kent Tibben officiating. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to the services at the church. Charles E. Dye, age 95, passed away on June 15th. Services were held in Indianapolis on June 20th. Benjamin Everett Oliver, 27, of Danville, passed away on June 16, 2020. A drive-through visitation will be held from 11 to 2 p.m. on Monday, June 22nd, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. A private family celebration of life will be held on Monday, June 22nd, at 2 p.m. at the funeral home. Pastor Kelly June Whitehair will officiate. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park. In lieu of flowers, memorials are requested to the Veterans Activities Fund at the Ileana Veterans Affairs Medical Center or the American Diabetes Association. And now we'll move on to another article entitled University of Illinois Announces Fall In-Person Instruction, Associated Press, Urbana. In-person instruction will take place in the fall at the University of Illinois with COVID-19 safety precautions in place to protect students if the state has moved into Phase 4 of its reopening schedule, officials said Thursday. Students who don't or can't return to the Central Illinois campus can take classes online, according to the university. Those who have signed up to live in university housing or freshmen required to live on campus will have to submit special documentation and receive approval to learn from a distance. In announcing the plans, Chancellor Robert Jones said there will be as much in-person instruction and residential occupancy as restrictions of space, health, and safety allows. Classes will be in spaces that allow adequate social distancing between students and professors. As an additional precaution, face coverings will be required in all instructional spaces and classrooms. In an online message, Jones and the university's vice chancellor said resuming in-person instruction is also predicated upon the university's ability to provide adequate COVID-19 testing for faculty, staff, and students, coupled with a comprehensive plan that looks after the vulnerable and aims at mitigating and containing any outbreaks. Similar plans are being put into place for Illinois' campuses in Chicago and Springfield, according to university officials. Unlike some colleges and universities that are starting the fall semester early to get ahead of a possible resurgence of COVID-19 infections, classes at the universities will begin August 24th. The Illinois Department of Public Health on Thursday announced 593 new known cases of COVID-19 and 55 additional deaths, bringing the total number of known cases to 134,778 and the Illinois death toll to 6,537. Our next article is Tilton Board Approves Business Grants and Fireworks Cost. Jennifer Bailey, Tilton. The Tilton Village Board Thursday approved giving business stabilization grants to 14 small businesses which need help due to COVID-19. The funding is not state or federal coronavirus pandemic funding, but village funding. The Board of Trustees approved giving $65,000 in grants, $2,500 to $5,000 each, to help small businesses in the village with mortgage, utilities, and other expenses. "We're trying to help make sure our businesses reopen," said Tilton Treasurer Tiffany Jones. In other business, the board approved an intergovernment agreement with the City of Danville to spend $7,500 from the village's community promotions budget line item to help with the fireworks display on July 4th at Danville Stadium. In addition, Tilton is having a town rummage on July 4th. Tilton officials also are planning G Street bridge improvements utilizing Rebuild Illinois funding. The project is estimated at about $650,000. Jones said the bridge was built in the 1970s and needs work. Tilton Mayor Dave Phillips said the project involves resurfacing and rebuilding the ramps to the G Street Bridge, replacing the bearings on the bridge, milling and resurfacing from the bridge deck down to Emerson Street on Glendale Avenue, and storm sewer work and inlets for drainage. Next article is entitled Labor Day Parade to Honor Essential Workers. This is a staff report out of Danville. The Vermilion County Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO, is planning to host the 2020 Labor Day Parade. The Vermilion County Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO, will again sponsor the largest downstate parade in Illinois on Labor Day, September 7th. The parade committee takes much time and pride in bringing this great event to downtown Danville. This year's parade theme is Honoring Our Essential Workers. If your organization or business is interested in participating, please contact Connie Ostrander via text at 217-418-0944. That's 217-418-0944, or email at saving_grace_55@yahoo.com for an application, which must be submitted by August 15, 2020. The committee welcomes your participation and encourages your group to honor the theme in a creative manner. If you are a union member, you are welcome to ride or walk with the Vermilion County Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO. The committee is looking forward to this year's parade after several months of sheltering in place. The parade will be following recommended Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and Illinois Department of Public Health guidelines in light of COVID-19. Vermilion County Federation of Labor is also looking for volunteers to assist with this year's parade. Please contact Connie Ostrander via text again at 217-418-0944 or email at saving_grace_55@yahoo.com or Michael Dodge at 217-799-0739 or michael_dodge@att.net. Again, that would be Connie Ostrander at 217-418-0944 via text or Michael Dodge at 217-799-0739 via text. This has been Dee reading the Vermilion County News for June 22nd. I hope you have a great day, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.